bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
It's the Gamer Show. Back.
are we going?
It's going to be one of these ones.
Back after our Christmas break. Did you have a nice Christmas?
Yeah.
Sam?
Yeah.
Good, good.
Yeah, to spice things up, I'll take Sam's mug, then I'll take it away, then he has to guess what liquid it is.
Totally when do we get on to mugs and...
Because you've got a mug.
And you weighing in them.
It might not necessarily be wee. I've got access to a blender.
Your own genitals blended for me?
You can only do that once. I'm not doing it again.
I'd probably drink that.
Nice. Right. To begin with, we've been told that there's a problem with the quiz. It's appeared on the British Tech Network site.
Yeah, but, that was me, sorry.
Well, it was Ed.
I was
Ed.
The problem with the quiz.
Yeah, you were the problem with the quiz. Ed Marshall also reported this. Apparently it's not shown up in podcatchers for some reason. I really don't know what the problem is. I will endeavour to try and solve this. Sam?
Yeah?
Do you want to fix your microphone?
I felt it was being a bit quiet.
You were, but I'm not sure that was the solution. So he's now unplugged his microphone.
Be a better show without it.
Possibly. So I will look into it. I really don't know what is up, actually, so we'll solve that. And as soon as it's available, it will be available.
Up is a Disney Pixar film.
Up is. It's a very good film. I like that film. As soon as you know. Meantime, if you can't wait, it is available on the British Tech Network website under the Gamer section. So, moving swiftly on. There's a lot of news kind of come out this last week with CES and all that kind of nonsense. So what we're going to do is I am going to make an effort to read all these news headlines without stumbling over my words at all. And then we're going to cover just kind of three of the ones that we really want to talk about. So feel free to jump in if you have an opinion. It's a calendar, Sam. It's a calendar. It's a Lego calendar. Yeah.
It's a calendar.
It is a calendar. If you have an opinion, just jump in. Just come in. I'll leave a couple of seconds after every headline so you can throw an opinion in, okay?
I don't know.
Who's all looked at the actual... Oops, sorry. Who's all actually looked at the show notes?
I've looked at the show
notes. You have? Screw you.
All of them?
Yeah.
Did you look at the headlines or did you actually read the articles?
I read through about at least 70%. Three of them. Well, okay. Some of them, like the...
Some of them were duplicates, to be fair.
The one which is just pictures, I've actually seen before, so I'm not really...
The one that was pictures?
Yeah.
I don't remember
you
one being
pictures.
You
put a link in there that
was... The father
well,
who put his kid in all
it,
the...
because I thought you might just mention it quickly.
Oh, right, okay, yeah, so...
So it's ruined that one, then.
You have, kind of, but I'll mention that one at the top of the show,
no,
so it's now got
did.
Full billing.
You ruined it, Paul.
So,
I danced around it like a nimble ballerina.
So a guy has put his one-year-old son on his birthday in a whole bunch of video games. It's quite well done, actually.
It claims to be every video game ever.
Yeah, the headline does, but it's clearly not. Foolish. It's got like Skyrim, I think Halo, and a couple others or something.
I was disappointed it was just screenshots of Photoshop. I thought maybe he actually put his kid into the actual code. I'd be much more impressed with that.
What, yeah, just downloaded his child? Blended it? Yeah, no, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Actually, that comes quite nicely onto my my preview.
Comes never nicely.
Oh, dear. My preview later, so I'll come back to that. So, we're just going to fly through them. So, first of all...
It's not a segue if the segue happens later on.
I didn't say it was a segue. You said it was a segue.
You kind of hinted towards segue-dom.
Yeah. I did not. Okay. Respawn founder Vince Zampella... Zampella.
If everyone reads that, it probably reads as like brown.
Zampella, basically. Yeah, yeah. You said, I think you said it right, but it's just the manner of like Zampella.
in that kind of Australian way, where you go up at the end of a sentence and everything sounds like a question.
Question? So, this guy from Respawn confirmed via Twitter that Titanfall will have a cap of 12, which is a 6v6 in multiplayer mode. But they will be joined by AI support. No word on amounts of these, though. So
They've said in total on the battlefield, 48 combatants. AI with human powers. So it must be quite a lot of AI dudes running about as
Oh, sounds quite interesting.
Kind of make it more fun. And also quite useful for like me, who I'm probably not allowed that word, who can't actually play at all.
My pen's not working. I didn't note down what time that was. There we go.
Cheers, did it that time.
We really should rename the podcast that, to be honest.
So there was no word about whether you could have 12 in one team, though. So if you can have 48 in the battlefield, that means there's 24. That was fast maths.
It was.
24 on each team, which means could you potentially have 12 in one team and then fighting against...
You mean like 12 human against...
12 human,
AI.
12 AI against 24
AI.
AI, yeah. There was no... I couldn't find anywhere that confirmed that or not.
I'd suspect not, but
the
you never
thing
know.
Did say 6v... 6v6.
Mm. Yeah, so it did expressly say, like, yeah, you're right, yeah. Anyway, NVIDIA CEO and...
I did blooming read it.
NVIDIA CEO...
And I said blooming.
NVIDIA CEO and co-founder Jen Hussen, or Juan Hussen, I don't know what you want. Juan...
I like Juan.
sorry, somebody put on Facebook the other day, and it was a picture of four kind of mariachi guys standing next to each other. They were Juan Direction. Oh, that was amazing.
I do quite like that.
So anyway, NVIDIA CEO and co-founder Jen Hussen Huang showed off their new tech.
For now on, just call everyone Dick Bloody... God, Starman is annoying.
Tracy?
Cheney.
Richard Gobbler.
Marks.
Richard Gobbler.
Kid you not, I actually have a customer called Dick Marks. It's true.
I think we've covered this in the show before, because I then told everybody about my... There's a guy that used to come in
it's
called...
It's a relatively recent one. And he refers to himself as Dick as well. Not Richard. Love it.
Okay. NVIDIA CEO and co-founder. We were supposed to be doing these headlines so it'd be quicker for it to get through the articles.
This is racing through for us.
Yeah, it probably is, actually. NVIDIA, we're only on the second article. NVIDIA CEO and co-founder Jen Hussen Huang showed off their new Tegra chip. The K1 claims to be more powerful than the PS3 and the 360. So it'll be interesting. That's a mobile chip. So that's cool. Nintendo is now having...
Which is all well and good. But if the controls are still a tablet, you're still limited.
It's a later news article.
What were you going to say there, you little monkey? Like, little grin on your face.
We've mentioned its controllers add-on for mobile phones numerous times, but do any of us actually have one or tried one? Or are we still waiting for
really
a good...
They're not really out yet.
We're still waiting for... All right. So it's like 10 of them getting made at the moment.
Yeah, there was a few of them came out of CES. So, and they all have different things. And I think it'll be a while before there's a really good one as well, because it's new... It'll take a while for people to kind of work out what people want and things like that. Anyway, Nintendo is now having a giveaway 1.82% of the wholesale price of each 3DS sold to a company called Tomita, following a judge ruling that Nintendo has been using their camera technology without permission. So given that the 3DS is pretty much the only thing that Nintendo are currently able to hold their hat on, given the poor Wii U sales, this has got to be a big hit. 1.82% of the wholesale price.
Is that backdated as well?
That's a really good question. I have no idea. We probably should have looked into that.
Because that's a decent chunk of cash.
Yeah, it really is.
Is it a hardware they've nicked or software? Or?
It's the camera technology.
Yeah, but
hold on, Paul.
We're doing the headlines. Don't ask me further questions.
All right, crack on, man.
SteelSeries announced the Stratus iOS controller, which is available now. It connects through Bluetooth, features 10-hour battery, and allows up to 4 devices to connect to one iOS device at once. Apparently connects to Apple TV over AirPlay as well. It's going to be $99. I've done a quick check. I can't find anywhere in the UK that's selling them just yet, like Amazon or anything like that. And if you look for the Logitech one, it's available, but it seems to be kind of third-party sellers, because it doesn't actually come out until the 29th of January, I think. So this one's slightly different, in that the other ones kind of make the iOS device look a little bit more like a Vita or kind of old Game Gear or an Atari Lynx, in that it basically extends it out on the right and the left and the controls are there. This one is actually a gamepad that connects through Bluetooth, and so presumably you'd have to put the iOS device in a stand and then play it.
Sell tape to your forehead or something.
Something like that. But there are early reports are kind of saying this one's a bit small and a little bit too compact for playing, but be interesting to see how that pans out. Greg Martin passed away this week. He was a former Hanna-Barbera animator who worked with...
Oh, damn you, God!
He worked on the Jetsons, Flintstones, Thundercats, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But the reason we're mentioning it is he did quite a bit of work on other titles, such as he did all the cover art for the Sonic boxes in the 90s, Taz and the Mega Drive, and a range of other classics from Hudson, Capcom, and Namco. So, sorely missed. He did all that back in pre-Photoshop days, so apparently he did everything kind of by hand and then scanned it in. So
I've got fond memories of playing Tasmania on my Mega Drive.
Yes, yeah. And I used to quite like I still do quite like the Sonic cover art and stuff like that. I was quite impressed. Eurogamer reports that despite a new Halo title for the Xbox One not being on Microsoft's blog list of games for this coming year, they have word that it will actually be here, so... I mean, it's kind of a given. I was kind of surprised that new Halo wasn't available on release with the Xbox One. But
I think if it wasn't for Halo 4, it might well have been, but because they did Halo 4 first, there was no time to get out.
Beamdog and Overhaul Games, enhanced edition of Baldur's Gate 2 for the iOS, isn't too far away from reaching the iPad finally after being stuck in Apple's approval process for the last month, according to a post tweeted yesterday by Beamdog creative director Trent Oster. Is this a... possibly, potentially, a reason for you getting an iPad?
No.
Sam?
Give it a go, but actually Baldur's Gate 1, I found, was a lot better than Baldur's Gate 2. The storyline Baldur's Gate 2 was a bit weak. But it's quite a fun game.
Cool.
Yeah, crack on. But no, it's not.
Yeah. I first got Baldur's Gate. Was it Baldur's Gate 1 or Baldur's Gate 2 you bought me for my birthday? 13 years ago next month. It was my 20th
Baldur's
birthday.
Baldur's Gate 1, I think.
It was Baldur's Gate 1. Yeah, Sam very kindly bought me it for my 20th birthday. I have so. I think I've mentioned this.
Mentioned before the podcast, he's been selling a lot of games, still in our cellophane wrappers on eBay. I suspect that was one of them.
Yeah. No, that wasn't, because I've spoken about this in the podcast before. That was the first game I worked at how to hack, and I managed to get into the hex code of my character and maxed everything out.
Oh, you have, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So technically I played it, but I cheated heavily. My guy was invincible. But it was a good
kind
game.
Kind of ruins it a little bit.
No, I would argue. Stick of Truth's release date has been now updated to the 7th of March.
It's just moved like 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, it was previously the 4th.
So, well, why is it even mentioned in it?
I think they're just doing it for poos and giggles. Again, well, managed not to swear.
The justification apparently is that it was said...
Is that the American release or the UK release?
This is the UK... Well, supposedly... The 4th apparently is the day that most American titles will come out.
It's on a Tuesday or something.
Yeah, but they're expecting the UK for smaller titles for them to come out on a Friday. Mm-hmm. So this is why they're assuming that they've moved it to the 7th for the UK for the Friday. I'm assuming the 7th is a Friday.
Got it pre-ordered.
Yeah, I didn't have it pre-ordered, but the more you guys talk about it, the more I think I probably should pick it up. It looks quite a good game.
I think it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, I think it looks good.
And
I don't have it pre-ordered, but I'll
although it's annoying that they're bouncing it around all over the place, it's nice to see a developer who's keen to get something finished before they put it out.
Yep. Sony have announced PlayStation Now coming to a Sony device near you at some point. Apparently the beta is in the US in January and will be US-wide in the summer, but absolutely no worldwide release dates. Apparently this is the way this will work is it's essentially video game streaming. So do you remember Sony Geico thing? I think we discussed this last year at some point. Video game streaming on all Sony devices, which includes TVs. So a Vita, PS3, PS4, or any of the Bravia TVs. We should also thank Ed Marshall because he sent us that link for that one. So thank you very much, Ed. He's obviously listened to us in our last show.
But apparently, I think I read somewhere you need at least a 5 megabyte connection for a good experience.
Yeah.
So I'm lucky if mine's at 5 megabyte. Mine will jump around between 2 and 6.
Yeah.
But
mine's awesome.
Yeah, we were trying to play our indie game this week, and we ended up having to abandon it and Sam bring his PC to my house to actually have a chance of playing.
Although, on the way up here today, I noticed that BT... What are the BT...
Infinity.
Yeah, but what the vans... It's not BT. It doesn't matter. they're all laying cables on the road between Galashiels and Selkirk.
Interesting.
Which is actually is quite interesting.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Given that you're considering moving there. So.
I think it's moved past that now.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Anyway.
Anyway, that's nothing to do with gaming.
Let's do the show.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Semi-finally, it's the last one I've got noted on here, but I've just remembered another article that we probably should mention. Telltale president and co-founder Kevin Brunner would like to make a James Bond game if he were ever afforded the chance. So that's the team that did the Walking Dead games and has also... I'm sure it was Telltale that did the Back to the Future games in, years ago. I really enjoyed those games.
Mm-hmm. I think they should do.
They do Game of Thrones and
Borderlands.
I think they should go right back to the beginning and do the whole stretch of Bond films again,
Do them properly.
Yeah.
So
re-jump them as the films re-jump them.
Yeah, because we've talked about this before as well, is that when you bring out a game that's based on a movie that's currently in the cinema, it generally is rushed because they're trying to get out. But when you look at some games like GoldenEye N64, for example, it was a movie tie-in, but it wasn't rushed for the end of the game, for the movie released in the cinema. They actually did a really good job of that. So there's a potential that they could do something quite good if they were to have the time and space. And I think Telltale could do a good job of it as well.
Well, I think it's just popped my head, although it's still a bit with PlayStation now. We've skipped on. Yeah. But I was going to say, it's what I'd read as well at CES was that a lot of people had hands on with it and they're quite impressed with it, but they did note that it was running off servers which were just a few feet away and everything was wired.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like, it's not really out in the wild. It can't, until it's out in the wild, you can't properly test it.
Well, I mean, they can test it in the sense of it works well if you have a really good connection.
Yeah.
So there's that massive caveat that says 5 is probably the minimum.
But we've basically put that caveat on everything. Everything of this ilk that's come out, we've automatically said, well, it probably won't work for us.
Well, it probably won't work for us, but we're not going to get PlayStation now till next summer at the earliest, I would have said. And there's a chance that we might have broadband, we might have fibre by then. But that doesn't, just because we have it, doesn't mean to say the rest of the global.
I might get
PlayStation. Yeah, I know, you might get it before. But, so finally,
1986.
Because obviously, they're talking. Because obviously, it's available for PlayStation. But you don't need a PlayStation to play it if you've got a Sony TV on the internet. But they're also talking about branching out from not just Sony stuff. So it's conceivable you could actually probably play it on an iPad and things like that as well. So you could play The Last of Us on that or something.
Yeah, cool. Very cool. So the last article I just wanted to mention, it was something else that Ed Marshall pointed us in the direction of. Oh, excuse me, I burped. It was very unprofessional.
Do you want to just do the notes for the show? From
now that would be far easier.
Because we can't be arsed.
So he sent us across a link that was around China's lifted their ban on consoles this week. So and off the back of that, Nintendo stock price actually went up as well, which is a little bit surprising. But so Nintendo and Sony and Xboxes are now available through legal means. I'm fairly sure they've always been available in one way or another.
They don't all basically get manufactured there anyway.
Probably, yeah. Probably the majority of them do. Yeah. But I don't actually know where all the
Foxconn, are they?
Foxconn's in China.
Yeah, I think it's them. It's been used by Sony and Microsoft to manufacture basically all their consoles. So I'm sure some, while in the manufacturing process, have went walkabouts.
Yeah, there's a reasonable chance, I would say.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
Can we edit that?
We're going to edit that out, but there was...
Wow.
No. Okay. I can do Japanese as well. Give me a second.
No, we're bleeping that whole thing there.
What?
Can we just have a whole section of Chiz's racist?
Oh, you can't do that.
Impersonations.
It's not racist when they do Scottish impressions.
Well, I think it is.
Yeah, but it doesn't bother us.
I'm sure it maybe didn't bother them, but it's still, we can't do it. Anyway, I'm going to cut that section out.
They'll soon be our overlords anyway. They're taking over.
Steam machines.
All right, you kit boy.
So Valve announced 12 companies it'll be partnering with to create Steam machines at CES this week. You guys had a look through these? Yeah. There's some interesting designs.
They look more like consoles and what are actual consoles.
Well, some of them do, some of them don't. I mean, the one that's coming out from Alternate kind of looks like, you know those...
Subwoofer.
Well, it does look like a subwoofer. But there's also those kind of cheap PCs that I always get, eBuyer always send me emails like, almost daily, that they've got this tiny little shoebox size PC that's like 160 quid or
which
something like that.
Always overheat.
Right.
Within, I would say, about 2.5-3 year kind of period, mm-hmm. if you use it heavily, they burn out.
So this one is going at $1,339. It's got an Intel Core i5-4570 graphics. It's a Gigabyte GTX 760, 16 megabytes of RAM, and a 1 terabyte solid-state hard drive.
I wouldn't bother listing specs for all of them because it's like 13.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'm not essentially, that, they're all just
mini PCs,
some of them PCs are nice. With Linux on them.
Alienware one with a Steam looks pretty disgusting, and it'll be extortionate.
It looks vile. With
Cyberpore, awful.
That's just a PC.
Yeah, Digital Storm one is just a PC.
They're all just PCs
besides just
with
Xbox
Linux
one
on them,
something.
With like a Steam overlay on top, aren't they?
With none of them particularly look nice at all.
But you see, the thing is I know. Paul, who's on the Big Show, Paulums on Twitter, he recently built a Steam machine. And I very recently bought a gaming PC, which I've put Steam on. And what I spent is actually less than some of these. And I fairly beefed mine out.
Mm-hmm.
And the added benefit is it's also a PC. You know, these have got Linux on them. I would imagine they'll boot straight into the Steam OS or desktop. If you want to play anything by Ubisoft, you have to have the Uplay client. Yeah. They don't work on Steam.
Which is a pain.
It is a pain in the arse.
I finally got From Dust working.
Yeah, well done.
Which isn't a bad game, actually.
So you're limiting yourself to only Steam. Now, to be fair, people like GOG and Green Man and things like that, they give you Steam codes. But if you want to play anything by Ubisoft, you can't play it on this machine. So you're really limiting yourself. But, I mean, some of them are quite nice. There was one that I saw that actually I thought looked quite sweet, and it's this little one, the Scan NC10. But it looks quite underpowered for the price. It's a Core i3 with 8 megabits of RAM and a 5 megabit hard drive.
I don't know, it's hard to tell what actual size that is, but...
It is. I think it's quite a nice looking little machine.
What gen of i3? Is that...
4000M. But
no.
This one looks like the Zodiac like one. Looks like a router. Yeah.
It does look like a router. It's horrible.
I don't know.
For stuff that's supposed to be basically, it's Valve trying to get PCs into living rooms set up, mm-hmm. basically on your TV and everything like that. But the people who have been designing these Steam machines, I feel they've got the design wrong, because you want something that's going to blend in with the rest of your. Mm-hmm. Your entertainment stuff, these things are going to stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, and I mean, even the new Xbox and the PlayStation, they blend in. Yeah. You know, there isn't a white option for the Xbox this time, because everybody's... Oh, not everybody's, that's a fairly broad statement. But
pretty much
I would imagine
black,
the majority of people's stuff in the living room is black. The Wii U is not white like the Wii, it's black.
Unless you get the basic one, which is white.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. Well, my one's black. That's all that matters.
That's the way you like them.
Have you eaten something today that's making you particularly
biscuits.
That way related?
Hey, you took it that way.
So you got a fair point there.
You take it that way as well.
I just think it's been very, very... You're spending a lot of money and limiting yourself, when all you need to do is... I would imagine not for a lot more than I spent, you could probably... Like, for example, in your shop, I don't imagine you'd spend too much far away from that to get a gaming PC with a Windows OS on it. And then they're basically... The high-end ones are like 1.5 to 2K.
No.
In dollars.
Well, less than that.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Hugely less than that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's with basically 100 quid going in on a Windows license as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or you could put a Linux license on. I don't imagine Ubisoft have... I imagine you plays on Linux. Anyway, that's by the by. Underwhelmed, Mr. Newell. Underwhelmed. But the other thing that has been discussed, did either you read about the Steam controller?
Mm-hmm.
So we've discussed this in the past and thought it looked kind of interesting, but basically where it was left was everybody kind of said, and we agreed that you had to have a go of it for really have an opinion of it. And there's an article on Ars Technica about somebody having yes, Ars Technica. You both thought that was hilarious the last time I said it.
So. Yeah, we're over it now.
Right, okay.
We're quite mature, you know.
He had about, I think he said about a 20-minute play of it. And the broad assumption, the broad kind of result was that the right-hand side, actually we should probably explain what it's like. If you've not seen this, it's essentially like a regular Xbox controller or something.
I don't like the look of it at all.
And instead of the two analog sticks, there is kind of, how would you describe it?
Track
kind of,
pads or something.
They're sort of track pads, but they're sort of indented, almost like if you pushed a golf ball in and then took the golf ball away, that's how the plastic would be indented.
Concave,
yeah.
Concave touchpad discs.
Type thing. Are you reading that from the article over
no,
my shoulder?
I can't see that.
So what they're basically saying is, on the right-hand side one, which is basically about moving around, not your actual feet, like moving your head around in kind of first persons and stuff like that, works quite well, and they're quite impressed with it. It's not as responsive as a mouse, but it does the job, but apparently the left-hand side one does not work at all for moving about. It's just not responsive enough. It's
I read somewhere else where they said it took a bit getting used to, but they actually found, for looking around, and as you were saying, it wasn't too bad, but the movement, if you're playing at FPS, just didn't feel right.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Like, it's at least going to take a longer than the time they had on the show floor to get used to it.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing that they mentioned was the four buttons, which are in sort of, to try and explain it like off an Xbox controller, two of the four kind of extra buttons are on the left-hand side of the center area, and the other two are on the right-hand side, so they're kind of spread apart quite a bit.
Either side of the two touch.
Yeah, they're basically outside the two touch areas, yeah. That's causing problems for games where you maybe need to push two at the same time with your thumb. They're too far away from being able to kind of do combos and things like that. So, but that,
do you know,
that doesn't
do you know
happen a lot in PC
as well,
games, though, does it?
It looks to me like you're not going to be able to spin at the same time as pressing those buttons.
Yeah,
like you're going to have to come off. You couldn't, looking at that picture there, you couldn't turn your head left using the left section and press any of those buttons.
Like to jump or whatever. Yeah. I mean, they did cover that in the article in Ars Technica where they described that there's the two shoulder buttons. So there's four shoulder buttons, two on each side. And so you can map one of those shoulder buttons to be a control that you had to do whilst moving. But it does sort of break that a little bit, I think. I don't know. I think it's probably one of them things that you maybe have to play with for a bit and make a call on. But it's certainly not looking too positive so far.
No.
It's not doing anything for me.
Nope.
So far.
And finally, we have the last item in the news is the Alien Isolation. So this started off at the beginning of this past week as a bit of a rumour. And then it actually got officially announced as well.
We'd been mentioning it in a pad.
Quite a while
past,
ago.
That something had leaked. It was going to be just the one alien, and you'd be sneaking about, and it turned out to be true. And yeah, they announced it, and not only announced it, they actually had, it was games journalists in for hands-on, so they've all had a proper game demo of it. So people have actually played it to actually see what they made of it, and everyone's come back pretty positive.
Yeah,
this is the one that we saw with the crash test dummy.
Yes.
Originally, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that does look quite interesting. It's been a while. I can't think of any Alien games, like, as in. So there's been Alien games, so like Aliens versus Predator. Remember ages ago on the PC, it was like in the mid 90s, probably even. Mm-hmm. Or was that just Predator? I forget.
What's the point you're trying to make?
The point I'm trying to make is I've never come across an Aliens game that's got the movie tie-in where the people are also in it, where you're dealing with the characters from the film actually any good.
There's no character from the films in it.
But this is sort of broadly... maybe I'm mixing this up from what your last...
It's based after the original Alien film. It's in between Alien and Aliens. And it involves Ripley, but it's Ellen Ripley's daughter, Amanda Ripley.
Yes, yeah, I remember us talking about that now, yeah.
So, yeah, it as far as I'm aware, it doesn't feature anyone from who's been in any of the films.
Good.
I still remain sceptical. We were so excited about Colonial Marines. And I know we've had this conversation, you've said, yeah, but with Colonial Marines, we'd sort of build it up in our own heads, whereas this is actually people have had a go of it and are saying it's awesome. But
yeah.
I don't know.
There's nothing wrong with being cautious because we don't have, because they've always showed it's this way. The playthrough that the journalists have had, They've said if the whole game was like that, it'd be too much. They need to see what the rest of the game's like. And,
right, okay.
And how the story pans out, because the demo they played was basically, they're in a, I think it was a midway point in the game where you have to sneak through it. You're going from basically from point A to point B while the aliens in the area aren't stalking, because there's only one alien in the entire game.
Right.
But you don't have any weapons. You can fashion... You can fashion things. You can possibly, I think, there's been they've hinted the most powerful weapon you probably make is a flamethrower, but even then, fuel's scarce. It's like a last line of defence. And even then, it won't kill the alien.
It's more to scare it off.
Basically, they buy you time to escape. But you can. It sounds like you can fashion things as a distraction or a trap to slow the alien down, or say, like, if you're trying to get through somewhere and you suspect aliens in the area, you can maybe have... crafted something that's on a timer or whatever, or someone you can detonate that will attract the alien across that way while you can sneak around. And from what I've read from IGN and Eurogamer and whatnot, everyone's come back saying it's absolutely terrifying because the alien's really well done, and it just looks, I think it looks fantastic. Whether or not I'll be able to play it with the lights off, I don't know, but I think it looks pretty fantastic.
I certainly won't.
No.
Oh well, but, so remains to be seen.
I'm definitely keeping an eye on it, because what I've seen of it, what everyone's saying, and of the game stuff they've shown, the footage, it looks pretty gorgeous.
Cool, sounds good. Should mention that we are actually devouring, as the show goes on, Chizzy's winning Foxy's Biscuits from
Fabulously
Foxy's Biscuits from the quiz. He left them at my house, which I thought was a bit of a mistake. But they've survived.
As did I.
They've survived what must be 4 weeks now.
Has it been 4 weeks since then?
Must be 4 weeks since we did the quiz.
2-3 weeks or something.
Yeah, anyway. Three or 4 weeks, whatever.
No, it is four, actually, sorry.
4 weeks since we did the quiz. And they've survived in my house. The only reason they survived is the amount of extra chocolate we got during Christmas time. Yeah. That's the only reason they've made it through. So thank you very much for your biscuits, Chiz.
No problem.
We're enjoying them very much. Okay. Sam, do you want to start with yours, or do you want to kind of go at the end so that then you can do yours?
I was going to suggest that, actually.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Crack on.
Okay. Chiz, your preview this week.
Infamous Second Son. It's picked up a fan. I read an article on IGN from a guy who's in the same boat as me, where he didn't mind the first two games, but he wasn't a massive fan of it. And I was coming at the same boat. I liked it, but it didn't do much for me. I just felt it dropped a bit short. And this guy went to it going, a bit Infamous, more of the same. And he played it, and he came back saying he thought it was absolutely brilliant and much, much better than the last two. So it's piqued my interest in the game. I'm hoping it's as good as it is. And
this is the third one, isn't it?
Yeah. And I'm just kind of hoping it's the game that makes me buy a PlayStation 4. I'm just waiting for that title that's exclusive to the PlayStation 4 to go and buy one. But at the moment, as much as I want a PlayStation 4, at the moment, I don't see any point in getting it. There's no games calling out to me that I can't already get for the Xbox One, because I went for that first.
I keep seeing offers and things like that, and the PlayStation, and I'm kind of going, that sounds really good, I should probably go for it. And then, well, I've got absolutely nothing to play on it.
Yeah.
There's nothing I want to buy for it. There's no... Watch Dogs maybe would push me into it when it appears.
It's on Xbox One as well.
The only game that is driving me to want a next-gen console at all is the Order 1884.
Right.
That's the only thing.
I think a while yet till that's out.
Really, you two, on launch games, have you been blown away at all?
Forza. I'm not going to talk too much about Forza, because I've not played it enough yet. But I think Forza as a next-gen title is beautiful in terms of the graphics. I don't feel at the moment, I've maybe just not played it that long enough, but I don't feel it brings anything else to the table other than the pretty graphics at the moment.
Yeah. It's the same with launch titles for all brand consoles, isn't it? There's very rare where you get an absolutely amazing...
I don't know, the Halo games.
The original Xbox, you had Halo. N64, you had Mario 64.
Mm-hmm.
The rest, PlayStation's never had, it's never had a massive game.
What did 360 have?
It was Halo 2, was
No. It's Halo 2 was on the Xbox as well, on the first one. No, it was Halo 3. It was Halo 3 came
Project
out.
Gotham, was it not? Project Gotham 3.
Well, that was not a killer title.
Yeah, I suppose.
Call of Duty 2,
anyway,
basically.
Games,
but even then, that's...
Not my thing,
so. No, but no, the 360, the PlayStation 3, the PS2, the PS1, none of them had that standout game when they first launched.
Mm. It's just when they had a little bit of space.
I had high hopes for Rise, but
I've heard bad things about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Apparently it's fun for like half an hour, then the whole game gets really repetitive.
Mm. Yeah. I was in Tesco's yesterday, the day before, and I was looking at the Xbox One games. It was yesterday. I was looking at the Xbox One games, and all of them had like the little ticket beside them and the price, and Rise had the ticket beside it and then a big new sticker on it. And I stood there looking at it for a second, kind of thinking, what? And but Rise, all Xbox titles came out at exactly the same time. There's no Xbox titles been released, like big, like AAA titles have been released since launch.
Mm.
I just thought it was really funny that they, for some reason, felt it was necessary to say that Rise was new.
Maybe it's not selling that well, so they put a sticker on it.
I mean, it was sitting at like number 4 or number 5 in Xbox.
If it drops under 20 quid, I'd contemplate picking it up, but I'm not paying 40, 45 quid.
Well, that's my other issue. I don't want to pay the price that they're wanting for the games anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they, like 50 quid?
Yeah, you shop around, you can normally get them for about 40. I don't think I've paid more than still 40 for 40s. Most of them.
Yeah,
as a stingy PC gamer, 40 quid's obscene.
Yeah. It is a lot of money.
It always annoys me when I see Steam selling games for 40 quid and just it's like, get stuffed.
Mm.
Well,
I'm
going to have to eat my words shortly, but yeah.
So I'm quite looking forward to Starbound. Have either of you seen anything about this other than the link I put in the show notes?
Not too much. No.
No. So basically what this is
I didn't follow the link.
I didn't expect you to. So Starbound
I don't care what you play.
Starbound is from I think it's an independent publisher. It's certainly the first game that they produced. But essentially what this is it's you can see from the graphics, well, you can't see if you're listening, but you guys can see from
it's like scribble notes slightly.
It's got a sort of a, not quite an 8-bit, maybe an 8-bit kind of graphics palette or something like that. It's the biggest kind of connection that they've or the biggest kind of example that they're shown is it's sort of Minecrafty in that you basically, you're a little guy that's been banished from his planet, and you have a star field that you can choose from, and you click on planets, and you just get dropped down at this planet. When you're on the planet, you can speak to the local races that are there, you can look for fossils, you can dig, you can just harvest stuff that's growing on that place, and it is essentially sort of a survival-y type thing. Similar to Minecraft, but just with a slightly different twist on it.
Can you end up ruling over and enslaving the population?
I was thinking.
That would be quite cool. I don't know.
Can you ask the question, do you have a flag?
It looks really good. It looks like one of these games like Minecraft. It's going to continue and develop, and it's going to continue to grow, all sorts of different things in it. I'm quite interested. At the moment, it's sitting at $15 for the pre-order. I have sunk my $15, and I'm quite looking forward to seeing what produces from it. But it's one kind of a nice experience.
You paid $15 for it?
$15, yes.
Why dollars?
Because you have to buy it through PayPal on their website.
Yeah, but how much was it in pounds?
I don't know. It'd be like
75 or something?
8 quid. I don't know. $15?
Roughly, I think it's 8.75.
Right? Roughly. And 0.75p.
No.
Roughly.
Yeah.
Are you really... Are you somehow in your head connected into the...
I'm actually quite good at doing the exchange rates.
Even though the exchange rate fluctuates on an hourly basis.
Well, yeah, but it's generally...
Did you check at 5 o'clock last night?
No.
No. Well, you're wrong then.
Okay. Thank you. That was my one skill.
Exchange rate twat.
I'm just going to bury my shame in biscuits.
Well, no, don't do that yet because it's your preview and you're playing this week, bizarrely. No, Chiz has done his. It was Second Son.
All right, okay. Wasteland 2.
Yeah.
Woo! I actually had Wasteland 2 ages ago as my preview, but I didn't really have much of an idea what it was because I just picked something at
random. Have you not been playing Wasteland 2?
This
is where it gets interesting and confusing.
So I'm waiting for him to explain that.
So Wasteland 2 is not finished yet.
It's just the intro sequence, isn't it?
And it was
this is the main menu.
It was a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
So fans of the original game and I presume fans of the kind of genre have funded it on Kickstarter. And ooh, that was forceful, Paul.
Show that biscuit who's boss.
Yeah. That's right. Just in a delicate region as well. We'll not even describe what happened there. It was traumatic.
You vasectomied me, you. With vasectomied you with a tin box.
Indeed. Yeah, so it is quite similar to Fallout 2 and Fallout 1 in that it's top down and you have a little team. But you start with a team, you don't have an individual guy who is you. You have a team because everyone has individual skills and you need those skills to survive. And you're part of the Desert Rangers. And your job is to go out, crack heads and stop trouble. It's got some dark humour. It's a bit more, I would say certain aspects of it are a bit more adult than Fallout. And, oh dear God.
We get the chalk out and draw a line around that dead biscuit. Yeah.
You done?
Yeah,
you sure? Yeah.
You're just trying to inhale it through osmosis through your lips there, were you?
I was trying to see if I squeezed it, the cream would come out. I was eating custard creams.
With the orange tinge to it.
Yeah, and I squeezed it hoping that I would be able to squeeze all the cream out the outside of the biscuit and it just exploded in my hand.
This is the same story you told your mum a decade ago.
A decade ago?
You're a late bloomer.
Sorry, Sam, we're paying full attention to you.
No, you're not, in any way, shape or form.
So explain to us how you can have both played your game this week.
You can get a pre-release.
Right.
So I pre-ordered it, and you get a section on pre-release. So I've been playing through the pre-release, which admittedly is buggy.
Yeah.
Although I noted that it was downloading stuff earlier on, so maybe that's a fix. Yeah. So, for my birthday, I treated myself to that because I want to play it in the future and have played through the pre-release thing, and it's excellent. So, following on from that, I'm incredibly looking forward to playing the whole game.
Sounds good. Okay, cool. So I was very lucky. Is my microphone... My microphone sounds as if I'm...
No, it's working.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I was very lucky. My good lady got me a PS Vita for Christmas.
Oh, before I leave, I want a shot of that.
Okay. And she got Tearaway, which I've not played yet, and Little Big Planet. I'm really enjoying Little Big Planet. There's not a huge amount new in Little Big Planet over and above what you had in the PlayStation versions.
I'm sure the Vita version isn't actually made by Media Molecule. I think it was another developer made it for the Vita, I'm sure.
I can't
but apparently
recall.
They did do a good job of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very good. One of the coolest things about it, and it was, I have to admit, I completely forgot, and I know we've discussed this in previous shows, but I completely forgot about the back touchpad on the Vita that I'd completely forgotten about. And it wasn't until I was going halfway through the game, and they started to use it really, really well. And so basically, it was two different ways that you use it. So, like in all...
Sorry, could you explain what you mean by a back touchpad? I've never really bothered
so
with handheld.
So the entire
consoles.
Area along the back of the handheld is a touch zone that detects touch areas.
I'm sorry, I just amused you. It's got a touch zone.
An erogenous zone on its rear end.
You know how on the PS4 controller's got the touchpad?
Yes.
It's like that on the back of it. But
the entire back
it's
of it.
It's not like a button. But
I got that through Paul's mangled description.
Yeah.
But you made it a lot clearer. Cheers. Well done.
So, a couple of things.
Who
that
made
with
it,
it,
Paul?
Who made it?
Yeah, the name
Sony.
Of the guy. Crack on.
Like with all other Little Big Planet games, you run along, you jump, and you can grapple onto... I don't think you have grappling. Do you have grappling in the other ones? Like you actually have a little grappling hook or something, I can't remember.
Possibly.
Anyway, so you run along, you can jump onto fabric and stuff like that, and you can hold on to it, and then stuff happens.
Yeah, you can do that. Now.
Yeah, yeah, so you can do that in the other ones, but in the Vita version, you actually get a gun that you can attach, which you can shoot, obviously. You have a grappling hook, so that means you can actually attach onto fabric quite a distance away. And the quite cool thing is, if you touch the screen, because obviously the front is all a touch screen as well, so if you touch the screen, you can interact with some of the items. So, for example... If there was a ball or a tube that was sticking out that you could attach onto, you can touch that and it slides in so that you can run past certain areas.
So what do you prefer, touching the tube or the ball?
And then you can use the rear touchpad to push it back out again, which is quite cool. So you're working from... oh, come on!
So it's like a reach around.
It's until you can touch on the back. And it
so
pushes
you can
it
take
forward.
Both ends at the same time?
No, no, you push it backwards and forwards. It pushes it in. It's really fine. Cool.
Can you click your fingers?
I don't know what that means. I think it's dirty, by the way, you're giggling, but I don't know what that means. And so I'm not going to bleep it because I have absolutely no idea. Anyway, so you also, there's another level. There's another level.
I think we've broken Sam.
Where you're driving this little underwater boat thing, submarine. Are you okay, Sam?
Fine. I'm alright.
And if you were doing that on like an iOS device, that would be really annoying because your finger would be on the screen. You would try to drive this little boat through the level. But you use the back touchpad to guide the little boat through.
That's one thing that's always annoying about the iPad stuff is, you touch screen, but then like...
your finger's in the way.
It's like all these beautiful grabs get ruined by your mucky mitts.
Yeah. So this, you actually guide the boat through by like guiding your finger along the back. Yeah. It's quite nice. Really impressed with it. I really, really like Little Big Planet. I like Little Big Planet anyway, but I really like it on the Vita. The only thing is, I don't find the Vita comfortable to play for long periods of time.
Is it the...
white or...
is it the first generation one, or is it the newer, slightly slimmer version?
I believe it's... I didn't actually know there was two versions of the Vita. I knew there was obviously your PSP and then your Vita.
The original one had a OLED screen, and the new one's got... I don't know, it's just a LCD.
It's a beautiful screen.
I think
it's really lovely.
I think the only complaints people have had with the newer one is they reckon it's not quite, the screen's not as nice as the first one, well, but they've dropped the prices by changing the screen.
I assume that being the...
You won't not really notice it.
Well, and also, I'm assuming being that I got it for Christmas, Kirsty would have just got whatever was the current one available. Yeah. So I don't actually know if it's a new one or not, but I assume it is. Yeah, it's quite uncomfortable, so I find it...
It was the same with the PSP as well. Like, you'll play it like for half an hour and then like you'd have to put your hands under a warm tap to declaw.
Because the way you have to hold your hands to actually have the PSP resting in like your palms is not comfortable for your thumbs. Mm. So you basically have to kind of... It's really hard to describe on a podcast, but... so the PSV is sitting in your palms, and then your thumbs are kind of bent into an uncomfortable fashion to be able to hit the buttons.
Is it possible that it's kind of made for someone with smaller hands?
I mean, it is possible. But PlayStation stuff... in my opinion, PlayStation stuff generally is more
adult
in the sense that the larger demographic. The 3DS is more aimed at the children, and the PlayStation is maybe more aimed at your teenage adults. It's not always the case, but
as many focus as possibly can.
Of course, but I just don't find it comfy for long periods. It's a great little machine.
What
I'm
about
really
weight
enjoying.
Wise?
Weight's fine. There's not a problem with weight. It's a nice.
What's the battery life on it?
Battery life isn't as good as the DS. I can't honestly say I've actually checked it 100%. But I've been playing the DS at the same time because I discovered that Super Mario Brothers 3.
That's why you got sore hands if you're playing at the same time.
Super Mario Brothers 3 was available for like at $250 or something like that on the 3DS. So I downloaded that. So I've been playing both of them. And kind of switching between them over the Christmas period. And I did notice that my 3DS rarely complained about... I mean, maybe two or three times over the Christmas period it wanted plugged in. And the PlayStation, almost every other day, roughly, I had to kind of plug it back in. So I basically just ended up every night, I plug them both into my bedside table. And it's just another two devices that charge every day at night beside my head. Which possibly is not good.
Radiating you every night.
Yeah. But I'd recommend it. It's a great little game. I really like the device. I'm a little bit uncomfortable.
The cool thing is now you've got that, and when you get a PlayStation 4, it'll be quite cool to see how the remote play works. And
It will be. The only thing that I can think is, and maybe this is, I've never actually checked, it just came to me right now. If somebody had created two little pads that just elongate it just ever so slightly at the bottom, that would probably fix my problem. I wonder if somebody's done that.
Do you reckon it's too thin now? If it's a little bit thicker, it'd be better.
It's the depth. It's not the width. So it's the height, if you like, if it was sitting. It just feels like if it was maybe 3/4 inches longer, it would just sit comfortably and my thumbs would stretch correctly for play the button. Anyway. Yeah, so if that's not available, if somebody could make that for me, that would be awesome.
Maybe Gav can make it a wood for you.
Exactly what I was going to say! Oh.
Chiz, what have you been playing?
I have been playing... Well, I over new, at a quiet new year, I played Gone Home. Like over,
I've heard quite good things about that. Maybe from you, in fact. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's
somebody
it's,
else I know played it.
I picked it. It's been getting rave reviews and up for its game of the year and stuff. I maybe don't really agree with that, but yeah, it's just
yeah, I saw that.
It's
Papers, Please was up for game of the year as yeah, well. I thought
I've played that, but I'll talk about that a different time because I've not played that much of it.
Oh, I thought you had talked about it in the show. Had you not?
I'd maybe mentioned it.
Right. Okay. Sorry.
But going home and got space, maybe a couple hours, played it start to finish. It probably would have taken me longer if I read everything in the game, but I was getting to a point where it's just like, I don't care what this girl says anymore. But it's basically, you play the part of the eldest of two daughters coming home after a gap year. And when she's been away, her family's moved house. So it's the first time she's arriving at this house.
And I thought it was going to be like what happened to me, where then you didn't. No one told her where they'd moved.
All right. No.
No?
Oh. So she arrives home. It's like a last minute thing that she's come home and her parents aren't aware that she's got you learn that during the game. You come home to an empty house and there's notes left by your younger sister. And it's basically like a mystery of what's been going on in that house the past year. And and you can unravel how. What, basically, by finding stuff, you unravel what your family's been up to, what's been going on in the past year, good, bad stuff. And, I can't really say too much about it without ruining stuff. It's a game you can experience. It's quite a nice little story. It's well written, enjoyable. It's, like, very different from what you'd normally play in games. It's basically an interactive sort of book, really.
Interactive movie type thing.
A short story, rather.
Kind of like Alan Wake, or not to that level?
No. It's not. Couldn't be a film, it wouldn't work as a film.
Right, okay.
But because you're basically the only character in it.
In my head, it sounds like a next generation point and click mystery.
Yeah. But
kind of like Monkey Island.
It's a first person game, just walking around and solving. It's not even solving puzzles, just kind of picking stuff up, which leads you to there, which leads you to that part of the house. It's all contained within the same house. And it's got. There's definitely a creepy sort of undertone to the whole thing, because when you learn something you go, that doesn't sound cool, and it's like, that sounds a bit shady. but I can't really say too much more than that. I think it's like £15, which for me felt a bit steep, but I bought it, I think, with £6 on the Steam sale. I'd recommend it for about that price. Worth picking up. It's something different, quite engaging. I can see why there's a lot of people say are raving about it and whatnot, but for me, I don't know, maybe it's not game of the year, but I did enjoy it, but it's a nice little game of pastime.
Cool. Just while you were talking, I was paying attention to what you were saying.
He wasn't.
But I just discovered that somebody has created the very item that I was just asking about, the PS Vita.
How do they
describe it? £15.
£15.
Yeah. Seems a bit steep.
Well, if it's that uncomfortable.
They don't actually describe it at all. Check out our other trade. No, that's not a description.
Can we read the user reviews maybe after the podcast?
No, do you know what to read them? Here, I'm sure it'll be good. It'll be good for people to hear.
I don't care.
I can't be bothered to leave comments on Amazon generally. Separately. Sorry, just while we're talking about this. Have either of you ever looked at Best of Craigslist?
No.
It was another podcast I was listening to, which no longer is around. I'm really behind in it. And they told me about the Best of Craigslist. And honestly, I lost about 2 hours of my Friday night just sitting reading these different things. I'm not going to do any of them justice, but going to Craigslist, and on the left-hand side there's a link that says Best of Craigslist. It's worth reading some of them. They're hilarious. Anyway, that's nothing to do with gaming.
So somebody had linked something from Craigslist, but somebody had just made a crappy little hut out of sticks and whatnot, and then was charging like rent for it. I was like, what? Living in your garden.
Just quick question. Is it only me that calls it Craigslist?
Craigslist. It's how they pronounce it in America, but it's a website from America, so I sort of feel that you should say it the way that they say it as the name.
Craigslist.
It is Craigslist. It's right, Craigslist.
I'm
going
to stick with Craig. I just wanted to check that I wasn't. That I hadn't just misread it, and actually it was CREG.
No. The company.
They do that with Carry as well. Like they call it, they say Kerry, and then it's like, no, that's spelt Carry. And then.
Yeah, but and there's also a U in aluminium. But anyway,
well, by the by, and there's an H in herb. They pronounce that the correct way. It's us that don't.
Anyway. This podcast and all the other ones on the British Tech Network are provided by, are sponsored by UK2. They're absolutely awesome people. They've got lots and lots of great things on. They had some fantastic Christmas sales on. I think they're all finished up now, but if you had the opportunity to grab up some of that, I hope you managed to get what you needed. If you head on over to thebritishtechnetwork.com and click on the sponsors link, you will see a whole bunch of codes and stuff there. If you could use the click-through on our website and just get all sorts of stuff. They've got domain names, they've got website builders, they've got VPS, VPN, they've got all sorts of fantastic stuff. I use their something, they've got their cPanel thing, their web hosting, and I've got some of my domain names registered with them as well, and they're absolutely superb. Their support, I have never come across another company that has such good support as UK2 when it comes to this kind of stuff. They're absolutely fantastic. They get back to you. Generally, I've found within a couple hours, it's really impressive. So that's UK2. I hope that you support them because they support us and they are fantastic. Gentlemen, what are you doing, Sam?
Nothing at all.
Okay. We all played Monaco this week, didn't we?
Ish.
Vaguely.
So we had some problems.
Not with the game.
I picked up Monaco as part of the it was a Steam sale before Christmas. Right. That basically allowed you to buy four copies of this game for, I think it was £8 or something like that. So, and it's a multiplayer game, so I thought it'd be quite cool. So the three of us decided to set aside an evening to play. I think we did it like, was it Tuesday or something like that?
Something like that.
Sam's currently living out in the middle of nowhere. Which is a little frustrating.
Way out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we haven't even bothered to visit him since he's moved out there because it's just horrendous.
To be fair, you never visit me before that.
He has to butcher a goat every morning for breakfast.
To, to stop the volcano from erupting.
Milk
I don't
yeti.
I wish I had to do that.
So his broadband is horrendous. So we really, really struggled to play. I think we got through the first level and he kept on jumping out and stuff like that. So we decided to... Sam brought his PC over before the show today so we could play it again before Chiz joined us. So essentially what this game is, it's up to four players. You each take the role. You got... Remind me of this one. Is a locksmith...
Pickpocket, lookout, and the other one.
A cleaner.
And then you pick up the mole ability in the second level or something. And basically the idea is you get given these heists. It's from kind of a top-down. It's very basic graphics, but they're quite pretty equally. You can only see what's in your line of sight at that time, apart from walls and things like that that kind of stay in sort of a grey, scaly type thing. So you can kind of see where you've been and where you're going. It's quite interesting, I thought. We only played it for, what, maybe 40 minutes or something like that total?
If that.
45 minutes. Probably didn't give
I
it too much
I
of a...
I played it for about 15.
I would highly recommend it. I mean, if it's... I noticed, certainly during the Steam sale, it was going for like kind of £2 a copy. You could get four copies for £8. Highly recommend it, I think. Yeah. Personally, I don't know about you guys, but...
It was alright, yeah.
I think it could be quite entertaining. You spend a bit of time with it.
I think when you get a bit further into it for the missions to open up and maybe get a bit more, but... I wonder if you get more of a choice in how you go about it.
Yeah, yeah, because it's quite linear at the moment, or certainly the few levels that we did. But I
the mole character would open that out quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Give you a lot more choices.
Yeah, there's a couple of little comedy elements in it. So this mole character can knock down walls, and there was this one level that we were in that was a whole kind of... Basically, the whole top of the screen was not accessible. And so Chiz decided to go exploring, and he knocked down a wall and kind of dug through. And eventually, it actually had written on the ground below where you were walking with your character, you are going the wrong way. So, got a bit of humour there. It was good. So, yeah, I mean, if it's only a couple of quid, I reckon it's probably worth a pickup, I would say. Mm-hmm. If you've got a few mates you want to play with, it's probably worthwhile. With.
Or you can play with random people. Cause if you
indeed. Because we had that problem.
Yeah.
So you can play with random people, and so Sam kept on dropping out when we were playing it the other night, and we were sitting waiting on Sam coming in, and people kept on joining our game, but that meant that Sam couldn't come back on when he came on, so Chiz kept on having to kick him out, and there must have only been about half a dozen people playing at that time, because the same people kept on reappearing back into our game again, kept on having to kick him out.
I don't think they'll particularly like us anymore.
No, we wouldn't be particularly pleasant to them. So anyway, wasn't quite as bad as our World of Warcraft evening of many, many moons ago.
No,
that was particularly evil. We managed to get banned from World of Warcraft in an evening.
Did was your account?
I got an email saying my account was locked. Yeah.
Yeah?
I never played it again. After. We made a guy that looked like He-Man, And people who play World of Warcraft.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan, sorry.
He was called the Hulkster because somebody had taken Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. By the way, please don't think worse of us, people who play World of Warcraft, and actually think that we were really bad. We did it for like an hour one evening or something.
No, but there's it became a two-man job where Paul would run around and I'd be the one sending messages. We never actually said anything insulting to anyone. It was just it was random stuff. And we had one rule was no matter what we said or what people said to us, our next comment had to do nothing to do with what we just said or what they said. And at one point, we're following this one guy around and he was running away from us. And I was continuing messaging him. And he was doing that funny thing where if you run away from someone in real life, you look over your shoulder. But in gaming, the character kept running the same direction, but his whole body would turn around to see if you're still there.
Yeah, no, it was quite good. I found a whole range of controller holder things for the PlayStation. It's awesome.
I'm glad you're putting a lot of effort into the show.
Can you shop for this stuff afterwards?
So that was our games this week, was Monaco. Chase, what game did you... You gave me a game, but I've not played it yet. I can't recall what it was now. Because it was supposed to be for next week anyway, but...
I can't remember what it was now. It was during the quiz or something.
Hold on. Sam, you do your game and I'll try and find one. Ones. God, we really prepare well for this section, don't we?
Yeah.
I do have a game prepared for this week, but I don't remember what I gave you last time.
You definitely gave me one already. Yeah. Okay, so if you give me a second, I will just find... the game. Oh, no, that's not working. Okay, Pad, Sam, tell jokes.
I'll do my Japanese man impression.
No.
Oh,
dear.
Yeah.
So that was my Japanese impression.
So speedrunners, Chiz, you actually gave me this before the last show, but so speedrunners... is a game, and Chiz, do you want to tell me about it?
Running at speed.
I think it's up to four players, and it's like a competitive sort of side-scrolling 2D sort of platformer,
kind of like Cannibal,
something like that. Yeah, if I knew what that was. And the little dudes, they seem to be like they're kind of like a comedy sort of superheroes.
Okay.
I think they're trying to get to a crime before the other guy does. You know what I mean? They've had a call that a crime's going down, so they're all trying to get there first.
Cool.
I think that's a general idea of it. Well, you can trip your mates up as you go along and do stuff and try and beat them to the end of the level, basically.
Sounds good.
I've not played it, so you can take it from there next time.
Cool. Sam, what I have for you is it's called Episode 1. It's actually the way it works is it comes as a season. It includes all 9 episodes, which the only one I expect you'll play is the episode 1, A Boy Learns What Fear Is. It's the Grim season pack, which I heard good things about. So I will fire that on to your good self, sir. And because Sam couldn't be bothered to find something for Chiz, I've quickly just found this one. It's called Gunman Clive. The year is 18XX. The West is overrun by thugs and outlaws. A group of bandits have kidnapped Mayor Johnson's daughter and are spreading havoc across the land. Only gunman Clive can bring order to the West and save the girl. Jump and shoot your way across 16 diverse challenging levels and fight massive bosses.
2D, does it look like a 2D platformer?
It does, but it looks a little bit interesting. The way, for some reason... Oh, there you go. See? Right. It's got a little bit of an interesting look about it. Yeah, so... Cool. That's basically the show. We have very little else to talk about. You want to email us, emails britishnetwork@gmail.com. You can get a hold of me on Twitter. I'm at Paul Wheatley. Sam is at Dr. Nasty Flaps.
Yeah.
And you can follow the network at British Tech. Please like us on Facebook and follow our Google Plus community. We'll be posting any links and things like that that we discuss in the show in those places. That's us. We will be back in 2 weeks for your normal nonsense and tomfoolery. I will do my best to try and solve this quiz problem in the meantime, so hopefully the quiz will appear on your podcatcher in the next couple of weeks. And that's basically us. Good night.
Ciao.
Is anyone here in my Jamaica?